Let's talk about a hot topic today. And when I say that, I have to laugh because there's always a hot topic in the health and wellness space. And no, it's not Ozempic, but I do plan on talking about that in an upcoming episode. Today, let's talk about intermittent fasting. And I want to know, have you tried intermittent fasting? Now, if you have, jump on over to my Facebook group and let me know. But if you haven't tried intermittent fasting, have you ever thought about it and wondered if it was safe for women over 40 or if it could help with menopause-related weight gain or if it impacts hormones? If you've had any of these questions, then this episode is for you. So let's get into it. Do you want to lose weight, but you're so tired of starting over? Are you frustrated with yourself because you can't stay committed to your fitness goals? Do you wish you could stop the habits that you know are keeping you from reaching your goals? I'm LaDawn Hickman, a certified holistic nutrition weight loss and accountability coach, and I'm so glad you found me because I know what it's like to want to achieve your weight loss goals, but you can't seem to get there. Many of us think that if we only have more willpower or found the right diet that we can lose weight. I'm here to tell you that willpower isn't the answer to weight loss. The truth is that we have to shift our mindset about our relationship with ourselves and food. We then have to rework and rethink our habits to get our body in balance. I firmly believe the saying that we first make our habits and then our habits make us. When we focus on making changes in those areas, then our minds and bodies are working together and weight loss is simple. Now hold up, I didn't say it was easy, but it doesn't have to be complicated. So join me as we do a 180 and build some healthy habits together. Welcome back to the Healthy Habits 180 podcast. I'm your host, LaDawn Hickman, a certified holistic nutrition weight loss and accountability coach, and I am so glad that you are here with me today. And I just have to say, can you believe that it is pumpkin spice latte season? Now, if you're a fan of the popular drink at Starbucks, then you know what I'm talking about. But yes, indeed, it is that time of year. I mean, back to school season flew right by us. My son is back in school, and I have to tell you that I am filled with all of the emotions. I just celebrated my 30th wedding anniversary with my bestie, and we sent our son off to start his new year of school. And, you know, it's really nice to be back on schedule and to have a routine because my son and I, we both thrive on consistency and routine. But like many moms out there, like you, I know, each year comes with, you know, experiences and challenges that we have to navigate. And having a kiddo on the spectrum, at least for me, it takes my level of anxiety and anxiousness up a few notches on the old stressometer. So, you know, with that being said, I'm excited, but a bit anxious. However, we've been blessed to have a great partnership with his teachers and staff, and prayerfully, this will be another great school year. And if you have kids or even grandkids that have started school this year, I am sending all the positive energy and prayers for a fantastic school year. All right, so let's get into intermittent fasting. Now, there are lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of information about intermittent fasting. So that's why I wanted to talk about it today. I want to talk about some of the basics of intermittent fasting. And as always, I want to give you some of the pros and some of the cons. And I'm going to share my experience with intermittent fasting and if I recommend it or not. Now, many of you probably know that fasting is not a new concept. I mean, it's been practiced in many, many forms throughout history. Fasting has been part of religious, cultural, and health practices for centuries. I was actually doing some research, though, to find out why there seemed to be such, I don't know, I guess I'll call it a resurgence, if you will, about intermittent fasting. And I found that it gained some renewed interest in the late 20th and early 21st centuries. There have been researchers and authors like Dr. Michael Mosley. He's known for the 5-2 diet, and also Dr. Jason Fong. He's known for advocating for fasting as a therapeutic tool. These two have contributed to its popularity through their books and also their media appearances. But as I said, there are many, 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 many others that have played significant roles in promoting intermittent fasting as a health and a wellness strategy. But I was really curious as to why does it seem to be so popular right now? And again, the idea of intermittent fasting has deep historical roots, making it a practice that has evolved and been embraced by various cultures. So what is intermittent fasting? And I'm going to talk about it from a health and wellness strategy. So very simply put, intermittent fasting is a way of eating that doesn't focus on what you eat, but rather when you eat. So it involves cycling between periods of eating and fasting. During the fasting periods, you abstain from consuming calories. Essentially, you just give your body a break from processing food. Now, again, as with any approach, there are many ways or methods of intermittent fasting, but they all share the same core concept, and that is you have a specified window of time for eating and fasting. For example, one of the common approaches is the 16-8 method, and that's where you fast for 16 hours and then you eat during an 8-hour window. Now, the reasons vary why people try or do intermittent fasting, but for this episode, we're going to just focus on fasting for the purpose of weight loss. Because it's very common for women to try intermittent fasting to help with weight management and fat loss. So let's talk about some of the benefits of intermittent fasting. First, I want to say that I am giving you the 64,000-foot overview of intermittent fasting. There is a lot, and I mean a lot of research and actual science behind this strategy. And I encourage you to do your research, and I'm also going to leave you some links in the notes below. If you're interested and you're new to this approach, I highly, highly encourage you to partner with your healthcare provider if you want to try intermittent fasting. Okay, so I've given you a high-level overview of intermittent fasting. Let's talk about some of the benefits. All right, number one, weight management and fat loss, which I just mentioned. Intermittent fasting may help women over 40 manage weight and reduce body fat. Now, we already know that our metabolism tends to slow down as we age, and fasting can essentially help to create a calorie deficit because of the fasting window. And as a result, this deficit can help in weight loss and weight maintenance. Now, I'm going to talk about the other side of that coin when I talk about the cons of intermittent fasting. So hang tight. So hang with me, all right? All right, so the second benefit of intermittent fasting is improved insulin sensitivity. Now, intermittent fasting can improve, and I'm going to slow down here because there's a lot of S's coming up and I'm tripping over my words, but intermittent fasting can enhance insulin sensitivity, which is crucial for managing blood sugar levels. Now, this benefit is especially relevant for women at risk of either dealing with insulin resistance or at risk of type 2 diabetes. Now, the third benefit of intermittent fasting is cellular repair and longevity. So this is what I was talking about when I said give your body a break from processing food. The fasting periods can stimulate a process called autophagy, where the body cleans out damaged cells and regenerates new ones. So this process may contribute to overall health and longevity, and during fasting, the body can work on this process instead of processing food. All right, so the fourth benefit is hormone regulation. Now, some women find that intermittent fasting can help regulate hormones, including those related to our appetite, which are leptin and ghrelin. And also, it can help with balancing or regulating our stress hormone, which is cortisol. And I talked a lot about these hormones in episodes 19 and 25, so check that out if you need a refresher. But this type of regulation can lead to better hormonal balance and mood stability. All right, and so the fifth benefit of intermittent fasting is cognitive health support. Now, intermittent fasting has been linked to potential cognitive benefits, which include improved brain function and protection against age-related cognitive decline. Now, there are lots of other benefits that have been reported in regards to intermittent fasting, but I just wanted to name a few. Now, I'm also going to talk about some cons, or I'll call them limitations, to intermittent fasting. All right, so the first one I want to talk about is hormonal changes and menstrual irregularities. Some women may experience hormonal imbalances and menstrual irregularities when practicing intermittent fasting, which can be more pronounced in perimenopausal and menopausal years. Now, this may include things like changes in your menstrual cycle length and intensity, hot flashes, and mood swings. All right, so the second con to intermittent fasting is nutrient deficiencies. Now, extended fasting periods can make it really hard to get the essential nutrients such as vitamins and minerals, which can lead to potential nutrient deficiencies. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more later. All right, so the third con, or the third, I guess you want to call it, limitation, is the impact on your bone health. Now, intermittent fasting could potentially affect bone health, especially in postmenopausal women who are already at a higher risk of osteoporosis. Limited nutrient intake during fasting periods may impact bone density over time. Now, the fourth challenge with intermittent fasting is potential muscle loss. Fasting can lead to muscle breakdown, particularly if calorie intake is too low during your eating windows. And as women over 40, we have to be very, very mindful about losing lean muscle mass, which is really essential for metabolic health and overall strength. And the fifth limitation or challenge I want to talk about is social and lifestyle challenges. Sticking to a fasting schedule can sometimes make social situations really difficult, like timing your family meals or going out with your friends, or if something unexpected happens, it can be difficult to adhere to the fasting schedule during those times. So that is something that can be tricky, or sometimes people find difficulty, or they find it difficult to adhere to a fasting schedule because life is life and things happen. All right, so what I will say about the cons, and I think what the naysayers or people who don't necessarily agree with fasting is, and this is something that I am actually aligned with as well, is that if your fasting window, or if people who fast beyond 16 hours, say they're on an intermittent fasting schedule of 18-6, or 24, that means they're fasting for 18 or 20 hours and their eating window is about 6 or 4 hours. So when your eating window is 6 or 4 hours, then you're putting yourself at risk for some of the things that I just mentioned. It's extremely difficult to get all of the nutrients that we need on such a compressed eating schedule. So I'm going to talk more about that in a bit, but I really wanted to say that right off the bat, because that is my main concern about when I hear people who eat on a 16 or 18-6 or a 24 eating schedule. It's just such a compressed time. And as I said, it's difficult to get everything in that you need. So as I talked about, there are benefits and limitations to intermittent fasting, and I'm going to link some resources in the show notes. Now, here's the part where I will share my experience with intermittent fasting, if I've tried it or not. So I have tried intermittent fasting, and I actually have found it to be beneficial for me, from the standpoint of weight loss and weight management, but more so from an insulin sensitivity and from regulating my hormones. The key for me is that it just gave me some guardrails, if you will. I follow, and I actually still do, I follow a 14-10 or a 12-12 eating schedule, which means I will fast for 14 hours and have a 10-hour eating window, or I will fast for 12 hours and have a 12-hour eating window. And when you think about it, that's really normally what you do if you go to bed at, you know, say 10 and you get up at 6 and you eat your first meal, which is breakfast, which is essentially breaking your fast. So it just really helped me to keep in mind that after whatever I designate my end of day is or my eating window, I'm done for the day. I don't need to be eating any more snacks. Because there was times in the past in which I would snack before going to bed. And if I went to bed late and I got up early, and because I'm an early riser, I eat early. So there were really only a few hours in between the time I went to bed and got up the next day that I really wasn't eating. And so I found that I feel less bloated, and I feel better when I fasted for at least 12 to 14 hours. Now, here's where I really want you to zoom in, because this is key. During my eating window, I really work to ensure that I'm getting in all of the macros that I'm supposed to. I make sure that I'm getting my protein, my complex carbs, and good healthy fats. And if you want more information on that, I really encourage you to check out episodes 15, 16, and 17, because I talk about all of the macros in depth on those episodes. And in my opinion, this is where people really miss the mark when it comes to intermittent fasting. Now, I've tried fasting for 16 or even 18 hours, and yes, it created a calorie deficit, and yes, I experienced some weight loss. However, I wasn't able to get all of my macros in, and it really wasn't something that I could sustain. And some people would argue that it is sustainable to eat two meals a day or even one meal, which is sometimes known as OMAD. But I'm not one of those people. I am not one of those people. I'm not a proponent of that. Here's the thing. Based on my experience, experiences of my clients, and research, most of the time when we tend to look at intermittent fasting, we look at it as a way to reduce calories. And by choosing to eat this way, that may happen, but that really should not be the primary goal. It should be a way for you to eat foods that are nourishing to your body during the time frame that you decide, and then allow your body to rest from processing food during your fasting window. It takes intention and preparation to ensure that you're getting all of the nutrients that you need during your eating window, which is why I'm not a proponent of anything over 16 hours of fasting. It is extremely, extremely difficult to get all of your nutrients you need to nourish your body in such a short, compressed window of time. Again, yes, you might see some short-term benefits, but is it sustainable? This is the answer. It's highly unlikely. And as I said earlier, extended fasting windows can make it challenging. And I'm going to say it again, it can make it really hard for you to obtain essential macronutrients, vitamins, and minerals, which can lead to the potential nutrient deficiencies that I talked about earlier and some of the other cons that I talk about. So the question here is, do I recommend intermittent fasting? And I will say that I do, only if you do the next three things. So zoom in again. First and foremost, and I cannot stress this enough, is I recommend that you work with your doctor or a healthcare professional to ensure that it's suitable for you based on your individual health needs and your health challenges and your health goals. Now, if you get the green light from your healthcare professional, then number two, ask yourself, what is your primary goal for fasting? And is this from a health and wellness perspective? Is it weight loss maintenance? Is it hormone regulation, cognitive support, or is it all of the above? Then number three, I want you to do your research and partner with a qualified coach or nutrition who has a solid knowledge of intermittent fasting, and they can guide you in this process, especially, and I'm going to say especially when it comes to your nutritional needs. Because ladies, it's not just about restricting your calories. There needs to be intention and thoughtful planning behind this process based on your individual needs, because it's not a one-size-all approach. All right, ladies, that is it. That is all, says the clock on the wall. And until the next episode, take the very best care of capital Y-O-U. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the Healthy Habits 180 podcast. I hope you found a nugget of information that will help you on your health and wellness journey. And if you want more information on how to do a 180 on your habits, come back as I drop episodes weekly. Also, if you'd like to be supported by women on the same journey, please join my Facebook group by doing a search on Healthy Habits 180. I'll also link it down below in the show notes. In the Facebook group, you'll get daily encouragement, support, and tips on how to stay on top of your habits. I also run free challenges to keep you encouraged and motivated. Again, thanks so much, and until the next episode, peace and blessings to you.